We have a chance now to talk about American Canyon issues, and happy to welcome to the studio Jason Holly, American Canyon City Manager. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for coming in. How long have you been in the job now?
We're approaching 2 years as the city manager in American Canyon.
Mm-hmm. And you come from an engineering and public works background.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a licensed professional engineer. Worked as our public works director in American Canyon for about 4 years prior to becoming city manager.
Mm-hmm. And how are things going? What's your report card? What kind of score would you give the city right now?
Things are going really well. We're really busy. Have a number of key initiatives that have been recently approved, and we continue to make our long-term plans for the city. It's an exciting time in American Canyon, and everyone's really supportive of the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I remember, this is a jaunt down memory lane, but sitting in what we used to call the taco truck, which was our trailer we used for remote broadcasts. This is in 1990-ish, 1989-ish, when the incorporation was, coming up for a vote. And, we're literally parked on the side of the road because there really wasn't a good place to go to be in American Canyon at that moment. Imagine, what is it now, 30 years later, are we happy about incorporation? Do the people of American Canyon think they made the right choice back then?
I would say definitely so. American Canyon was a much different place 27 years ago. It was 1992 when we incorporated. And one of the real unique aspects of the community is how the new and the old have blended together. We still have a number of old-timers. I actually want to give a shout-out to one of our most famous old-time residents, Fran Lemos, who's celebrating a major milestone birthday this weekend, and she was there from the beginning. And she engages, and much of our older population that was there from the very beginning engages so effectively with our new population. In 2000, the census had about 10,000 American Red County residents, and a decade later, in the 2010 census, we had about 20,000 people. So a remarkable period of growth, and the influx of those new residents could have been disruptive. You could have had a culture clash, and the exact opposite has happened. You have emerging of cultures, emerging of old and new, and it really makes for a unique place.
Yeah, for sure. 20,000 population as of the 2010. What do you anticipate 2020 census might show?
Not as much growth in terms of population in those years, and we're expecting more over the next decade, but really the recession sort of took the wind out of the sails and a lot of the construction, a lot of the population growth. So we're expecting it to be around 21,000, not a large necessarily increase, but again, the major initiatives we have approved, we expect to have growth over the next decade.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, as it's turned out, American Canyon is a fascinatingly diverse community in a county that really isn't, to be honest. It's by far and away the most diverse city in the county, and with a lot of bedroom community quality, a lot of commuters, right? Do you have demographics to show how many people are working outside of the county that live in American Canyon?
Yeah, I don't have those statistics off the top of my head, but a substantial majority of our residents have at least one working member of the household or two working members of the household, and a very large percentage of those are either coming to Napa to work, or a much bigger percentage actually are headed either to the East Bay, to the Central, either Central Valley or even Sacramento. American Canyon is geographically conveniently located on the I-80 corridor, essentially, and real convenient, especially for two working household members to go one direction and another directions. We have families who parents work in the Vacaville or Sacramento area, and others work in the East Bay, and so definitely has the bedroom community feel. And its location serves one of those purposes.
Mm-hmm. One of the drawbacks potentially for bedroom community type towns is that people who work elsewhere may not feel as connected to the community. They're not who knows, they may be taking kids to school out of town as well when they make their commute, and so that can be a problem in some places. How do you cope with that issue in terms of citizen engagement and being involved in civic life?
We have a multi-pronged approach. We use a lot of engagement tools, a lot of social media tools. We broadcast our council meetings and encourage participation that way. We have a number of community groups. We tend not to focus on midweek events. Those tend to be tougher. We tend to focus on weekend events. Actually, we had a really special segment just a few Fridays ago. Channel 2 News came up to American Canyon and did an on-site location broadcast, and we threw a mini festival there, which was pretty unique for us on a Friday morning. Mm-hmm. But it really showed the community getting together and celebrating. We have an outstanding 4th of July that is a program that our community engages with, and we have a number of events throughout the year that everyone really participates in. So it can be tough. I think one of the aspects that we're trying to do to create that center that where people can gather is known as the Watson Ranch Project. Even from the very beginning at incorporation, there was a desire to take the old basalt ruins cement factory and turn it into a town center. That plan has now been approved. It was approved last fall by the council, and the final entitlements, at least for this phase, just got signed off a few weeks ago. And so, that project is moving forward. It involves new residential development, more residents, but it also involves commercial redevelopment of those ruins and gardens to create a town center, public plazas, really unparalleled in the Bay Area. Huge, huge concrete structures, really unique art on site that they're going to maintain. And it will be kind of unparalleled here, and we're excited about that project. A lot of infrastructure has to go in to make it happen, so it'll be a long process to get it going. But we think that will kind of mirror the effect that having the American Canyon High School did for a long time. Students in American Canyon were bused up to Vintage High School, and now with the opening of the American Canyon High School, that has sort of gravitated to become our center of the universe. All of the schools in American Canyon really play a key role in the lives of American Canyon residents, and the high school probably the most prominent. We think the Ruins and Gardens Project will amplify that even more, and that will also become our town center.
Mm-hmm. It could become the North Bay's Stonehenge, sort of.
That's a really interesting analogy. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, it certainly could. The structures there that are still intact and will be retrofitted and repurposed are really unique. They're just in their scale. A little bit similar to maybe what you see out at Mare Island with the 100-foot tall buildings that they have out there that they've repurposed. A similar concept here. These are huge, huge structures that you simply couldn't build under any current economic model and turn them into this sort of commercial place. But they exist today. They have unbelievable art there that's graffiti art that folks from all over the mm-hmm. world have come and participated in. A lot of that will be saved. And so it'll be a very unique draw, and we're excited about it.
Yeah. So is Watson Ranch a public development or a private development or a mixture of the two?
We consider it a public-private partnership, probably in the more of the classical sense. There's a residential master plan community component, up to 1,200 multifamily units in and around the area. And so the partnership comes with the infrastructure that's required. The developer will be building a lot of the infrastructure. The city is responsible for some of it, but it takes a lot of infrastructure to support a project like that. We're working with the landowners on the various steps to make it happen. Importantly, some of the more recent entitlements provide some land dedications early on for this infrastructure, so it'll weather the test of time. Even if plans don't necessarily go as planned, we will still have necessary property dedications for things like the Vine Trail, which has a major segment that'll be running through the project, and also all the road rights of way. And so we're going to be laying out that master backbone very early on and allow the market then to drive exactly the production of the residential units and the development of the ruins and gardens itself, because it's a unique project, particularly the ruins and gardens. So they're going to kind of take it slow, kind of build some core elements to it, and then expand on it as it's successful.
Does it have a commercial component as well?
Yes. The ruins and gardens themselves is a commercial development, so it'll have coffee, wine bar, brewery, small kind of mom and pop stores. A lot of probably eclectic elements as the marketplace will dictate. But the idea is to kind of start small and then kind of build on it from there. There's also a 200 unit hotel. This will be a boutique hotel overlooking the ruins and gardens. So the idea is to get some of the energy and activity happening at the ruins and gardens, and then to build the hotel overlooking that and to have that interface.
It's an interesting project, and it's always great when communities revitalize existing iconic things. Like you mentioned here, we have the tanneries and so forth, and you change your community a lot if you just wipe all that out, and build on top of it, essentially, instead of integrating it. So that's Watson Ranch. I think you said it's a couple-year process?
Yeah, we have a long-term agreement with the developers of the project, and that's to kind of weather the market conditions as they come and go. We expect infrastructure to start seeing activity around the infrastructure a year from now, or towards the end of 2020. Still, some engineering design stuff that has to happen before that. But we expect to see, some earthwork and some pipeline type activity by the end of 2020. The market will dictate exactly how fast they want to go, but we've cleared a lot of the hurdles now, and a lot of the balls in their court, sort of how fast they want to proceed.
Mm-hmm. All indications are the housing demand is not going anywhere, so that encourages developers, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the aspects of this development are new. There's not a lot of product type like this in Napa County. These are all either medium or high density product type, small lots. None of the front yards will have turf in them. We have a water efficient landscape ordinance, so we don't allow front yards with turf. These are all native landscapings, very efficient water use type developments, and very dense product. There's a new elementary school as well that'll be part of the project. It's right in the center of it, and actually the Vine Trail will kind of go right behind the east side of it. All that's kind of geared around the residential pieces, but a lot of walkability, a lot of livability. We expect residents of that development in particular to be able to access the ruins and gardens, commercial and retail activities, on foot and on bicycle, but even the adjacent neighborhoods in Vintage Ranch would be able to walk and bike into there and to not have to get in their cars. So we're really trying to play the non-motorized elements.
We're talking with Jason Holly. He's the city manager for American Canyon, and we're just looking at a variety of issues, challenges, objectives, accomplishments in that community as it stands today here in 2019. You mentioned water, and every community has to be pretty savvy and have a good plan around water supply. Tell us about American Canyon's situation. I've heard in the past that it's been pretty challenging in existing availability. Where are you today? Where is it in the future?
We've made a lot of strides since the drought of a couple of years ago. Things were fairly dire right as I began the role as Public Works Director there. We import all of our water from the state, mostly through the State Water Project. And while we've contracted with the state for plenty of supplies that would meet our needs, the state isn't always able to deliver all of those supplies. The amount they can deliver is dependent upon the snowpack that occurs in the Sierra Tahoes. We're the only city or town in Napa County that doesn't have access to our own reservoir, and so we rely on that imported water. What we found in 2014 in the drought was that we weren't always as efficient as we could be with that water use or that water delivery. At one point, we were losing 25% of that water, leaks, unbilled water. So we've taken a number of efforts, capital projects, to replace leaky pipelines, replace infrastructure that was unaccountable for the water, and we're down around 7% now, which is very good as far as industry standards are concerned. So the first thing was to sort of stop the bleeding on those water supplies. The second thing that we've done is to invest in recycled water infrastructure, and really the mantra is finding the right water for the right use. And so all of our new commercial development at a minimum is irrigating their landscaping with recycled water. This is the highest quality treated recycled water, and it goes outside, and it's used for the plants and things outside, which is where some of the highest summertime use occurs. In fact, the new apartments that were constructed on Napa Junction Road, American Canyon, actually flush toilets inside the residential units with recycled water, because, again, why would you flush a toilet with pristine drinking water? So becoming very, very efficient and wise with the potable water uses and recycling water, using it again when you can. The third thing that we've done is to invest in the Sites Reservoir Project. This is a new major statewide reservoir, surface water reservoir, up near Maxwell, California. Still in the design phase at this point, it has received Prop 1 money and is expected to proceed forward and be completed by the end of the next decade. And so we're invested in that to the tune of 4,000 acre feet, which will essentially, not quite, but almost double the amount of supplies that we've contracted for, another major investment. And the reliability of those supplies are expected to be much, much higher than the state's reliability. And so the third thing is then investing in that additional supply so that we can anticipate the future growth that we expect to have.
I would guess, a perfect world in terms of water supply would be something, as you described, where the other communities have a reservoir as a backup supply or as an alternate, relying just on that one pipeline, that North Bay Aqueduct, right? We've all heard the horror stories about what if there's a quake and the levees fail in the Delta and salinity, and that would be worrisome to have only that one one source, right? Coming.
We do have interconnections, so we're connected physically and have contracted with the city of Alejo for water supplies. So we have a connection there, and they receive some water from the North Bay Aqueduct. They receive it from other sources too. Yeah. That's one of our backup plans. We also have catastrophic procedures. You know, in the event of a catastrophic loss, we do have interties with the city of Napa as well. And so there are those relationships, but certainly, you know, much like a lot of our infrastructure in the nation, it's vulnerable to potential issues. So, you know, one of the unique things that we found in American Canyon was how bought in the community is to being part of the solution. And I'll give an example. The Coca-Cola Corporation actually has a major facility out on Green Island Road. It's one of two of their largest facilities west of the Mississippi, makes all their non-carbonated product. During the drought, they are our biggest water user, and they were rightly concerned about whether we might have to mandatory ration or curtail supplies. And so they approached us with, how do we be part of the solution? And it took a little while for us to figure out exactly how that might play. But in the end of the day, they actually contributed $1.5 million in cash to us to replace one of our pipelines. And they did that just as a way of being out of part of the solution. They didn't ask for anything in return. And you see a similar efforts in all of our customers. Everybody really reduced the supplies. When we went through the drought, people converted landscaping to drought-tolerant landscaping. They reduced their usages. So, you know, we would expect, you know, the response of our customers. Again, if something major and catastrophic, we would have a certain response and a certain understanding. And if we have a long-term drought, we would take additional steps to kind of address that.
Again, our guest right now, Jason Holley, city manager for American Canyon. Need to take a break. We're going to come back and talk some more, and I think our next topic has to be traffic, right? Inevitably, we're going to get to that. That's coming up in the second segment of this program. Today, we're talking with Jason Holley, who is the city manager for American Canyon. He's been in that job a couple of years, served as public works director several years prior to that time, and taking on a really different kind of management job because American Canyon is a little more dynamic, I would say, than most of the other cities in terms of new stuff happening. It's not, you came into it at a point of, you know, I wouldn't say rapid growth, but definitely a growing phase, right?
That's correct. And we currently have entitled 2,500 units of new residential development, which will come close to increasing our existing housing stock by about 50%.
Wow.
So we have about 5,500 units right now. So, and again, these are not things that will happen overnight, but really planning for growth for the future. Mm-hmm. We see our role fitting in the larger Bay Area. We have a priority development area, part of the sustainable community strategies from MTC and ABAG, and we see that American Canyon is a place where growth, responsible growth, is going to happen, and we embrace that. And we're looking forward to making it our own.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the traffic that comes with growth. And American Canyon has a unique situation. It's not like some communities where, you know, your traffic problem will be localized to the people who live there. It's a traffic problem for a lot of people who are just trying to pass through, right? Recently, there was some study about a corridor project for that section of the highway that is considered to be Broadway, right? Mm-hmm. And we call it Highway 29, but it's Broadway.
Correct.
And, you know, everybody has a different idea of what that ought to be because they have different needs and wants as either residents or people passing through. That's a challenging situation.
It is a challenging situation. We've just wrapped up what we call our Broadway District specific plan. And what that specific plan envisions is along the highway in our priority development area to turn what is currently a four-lane rural highway going through the middle of town and to turn it into a six-lane urban arterial, much closer zoning setbacks, bicycle and pedestrian facilities on either side so that you can get out of your car and walk through town, mainline transit stops so that the Vine buses from NVTA can pick up and take people from the new sidewalks that are right on the other side of the highway rather than having to deviate into town and take more time. Those efforts will take place over many, many years, and not all going to happen overnight. And so we're going to be making those investments, those improvements in pieces, most likely starting at each of the intersections. Intersections are where a lot of the bottleneck can happen. So focusing on the intersections, doing them in a sequence that makes sense, but really capitalizing on the bicycle and pedestrian improvements as well. You mentioned the volume of traffic and the source of that traffic, and you're exactly right. much of the traffic that's on Highway 29 during the peak hours, and it's a pronounced effect. It's a northbound in the morning. It's a very southbound in the evening. It's a very, very pronounced effect. You can set your watch by it. And a large predominant piece of that traffic never starts or stops in American Canyon. Somewhere between 70 or 80% of it never starts or stops in American Canyon. It can be up to 50,000 cars a day, which actually sometimes is even more that's on Jamison Canyon and Highway 12. And so it's a challenging situation. And the other challenge of it is we call it Broadway. Caltrans calls it State Route 29, mm-hmm. and it's Caltrans's facility. So we don't even have the ability to go in and change the traffic signals or fix them. We have to rely on Caltrans resources. We are partnering with Caltrans and NVTA on efforts to make the Broadway vision come true. NVTA currently has a co-op agreement with Caltrans. We have a three-party MOU with Caltrans and a funding agreement with NVTA to put some additional studies and additional data around Broadway specifically, but also the alternative routes that will ultimately make South County congestion hopefully better. The alternative routes I'm speaking about include Devlin Road on the west side, which will connect the Green Island industrial area with the airport industrial area and will create a continuous path from Sosco Ferry Road all the way to Green Island Road. That project is exciting. There's two pieces left, and they're both expected to be under construction. Well, one's under construction right now. The county is building their segment over connecting to Tower Road. We expect our segment to be under construction next summer. And once that's done, that link will be there. And really, we think because of the B2B interactions that happen between the Green Island and airport areas, a lot of it related to the wine industry, a lot of those trucks go back and forth, have facilities in both locations. They'll be able to use this road, not have to use Highway 29 and pull some of that truck traffic off. It will also be an alternative route to the highway, although a two-lane route. On the east side of the highway, Newell Drive will be extended all the way up. And that's another element that is exciting. It'll provide probably more of a residential connection on the east side, but it's certainly another alternative. The Watson Ranch project will play a major part in that. Some of the road dedications I mentioned earlier related to Newell Drive. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the goal is to have it extend all the way north to Kelly Road and to have that continuous path. Again, it's a two-lane road, so it's not another highway. What it is meant to be an alternative route on the east side. We have a choke point on Highway 29 right now, just north of Green Island Road, between there and South Kelly Road. There is no physical way to go north and south from there. So when a traffic light malfunctions, when the rainstorms happen and the drainage systems are overwhelmed and flooding happens, there is literally no way in Napa County to go north to south. You have to leave Napa County. You have to go into Solano County all the way around, which has to be probably a 30-mile detour, if I had to guess. So,
for sure.
You know, it's definitely a challenge, and it's one that we're embracing with a lot of different ideas and support. Supervisor Ramos and Supervisor Pedroza are very, very attuned to the needs of South County and working very hard in their respective capacities to help the vision come through and as our partnership with NVTA.
Now, I know some people listening might say, okay, your alternate routes are great. That's a great idea. But we still need about six or eight lanes just bombing right on through down there. People have been saying that for years. Why is that not an option?
It is an option. It is part of what the Broadway plan contemplates. When people say we need 6, 8, 10, 12 lanes, what they're saying is we want congestion reduced. There's nothing particularly personable or fascinating about that much asphalt on the road. What they're saying is we'd like the problem we perceive to be fixed. And so what we're going to be using is a combination of technology and strategic improvements to ease congestion. And that's, if you look at the bottlenecks, really the bottlenecks are at the signals. In between the traffic signals, there isn't as much of a capacity constraint. This isn't the 405 freeway, which is starting traffic. This is particularly related to some of the traffic signals. So we're using technology. We're partnering with Caltrans on a project to use smart traffic signals so that all of the five signals that are on 29 in American Canyon operate in a really uniform way, so you get that progression. One of the interesting things about the Broadway plan is it actually envisions reducing the speed limit on Highway 29 to 35 miles an hour, and that's a little counterintuitive. The main reason for doing it is livability, walkability of the pedestrian paths and the commercial and multi-use features near the highway. It's much harder to think of something livable at 55 versus 35. But the other reason to do that is to kind of slow the traffic down, but to create a repeatable pattern. For a mile and a half, the difference between 35 miles an hour and 55 miles an hour is like 45 seconds. So it's not a very large amount of time. And for, 6 hours of the day, 3 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, nobody's going 55 and nobody's going 35. They're going much slower. So the idea is to create a repeatable pattern with using technology so that if you know it's going to take you 18 minutes to get from South Kelly Road to American Canyon Road, and it's a reliable 18 minutes, you can plan your day around that. Some days it's 12 and some days it's 50. It's very hard to plan your commuter life. And these are for people, you know, driving through American Canyon. The other purpose of lowering that speed limit is certainly for safety as well, but to create a place where people are actually focused on the surroundings a little bit. At 55, you're just watching the taillights in front of you, and you're not taking advantage of seeing what's around you in American Canyon. We're trying to dispel some of the drive-through community aspect. And so at 35, and especially in a repeatable pattern, you might be willing to pull over and stop at our Verizon store that we'll be opening in a couple of weeks, this new Verizon store. Say, hey, I need a cell phone charger. Maybe I need a new phone. Or you might be willing to check out Redwood Credit Union, which is also going to be opening in that same building, or see one of the restaurants that we've got opening up. So at 55, you're just heading through. But at 35, you're willing to consider the surroundings.
Yeah. For sure. Now, as you know, the city of Napa has embraced the roundabout. Is there a future for roundabouts in that stretch?
There, not necessarily on the highway, but on the Devlin Road project that I mentioned. This is, again, on the west side of the highway. There's some new industrial buildings, warehouse buildings that have been built, and there'll be a roundabout at the extension of Devlin Road to Green Island. This will be a very large roundabout. It's designed for trucks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we'll be building our first roundabout there as well. I don't know that you'll be seeing any roundabouts on the mainline part of Highway 29, particularly because of the volumes that you're talking about, 50,000 cars a day. It's a pretty large roundabout that would be needed. But again, our goal is to use technology to have those traffic signals work in a coordinated way so that you hit most of the green lights or two or three of the green lights in a row and really don't have to start and stop and start and stop.
You probably have these numbers in your head. How does that 50,000 cars a day compare to the busiest parts of Highway 29 North up here in city of Napa, for example?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. I don't know what the volumes are at the Sonoma intersection, and I don't know what they are at Jamison. Yeah. I just know those volumes as you exit the city. I do know, interestingly, it's more than you see on Highway 37, and there's a lot of interplay there. We see that when 37 is closed for reasons for flooding. Mm-hmm. And the recent regional studies that have been done show a diversion effect. There are motorists, these are people who live in Solano County or Contra Costa County who are working in Marin County or Sonoma County, who make that drive every day because they can't afford to live in those areas. And it is quicker for them, in many occasions, to divert around Highway 29 than to sit in Highway 37. Yeah. So we see that effect. They've measured the effect. They can see when people start diverting. And that's one of the interesting phenomenons that's kind of become new information since we've been studying this issue.
Yeah, it's a regional problem, isn't it? It's not any one city or one county's problem when you start looking
at
that
pattern. Right. Yeah, exactly right. And it's inextricably linked to housing. Being able to live closer to where you work is a phenomenon that until you have that, you don't truly appreciate if you're used to commuting. But it's an effect that you see all over the North Bay. And, again, we're embracing our role in that solution by providing the zoning and the densities that will allow people to live in American Canyon. And we're also hoping to create additional work opportunities in our Green Island Industrial Park and the Airport Area Industrial Park so that people can work there and either ride a bike or have a very, very short drive to those locations without having to go far away.
Yeah. Again, our guest, Jason Hawley, city manager for American Canyon. We've been talking about all kinds of issues that are present and future for the city there as it grows and changes. In terms of tax base and revenue, one of your tasks, I'm sure all the time, is to make sure that you're in a balanced kind of position, that you're not counting on one kind of revenue only. We've seen how that can come back to haunt different communities. What is the tax base? There's a certain amount of industrial, there's obviously a certain amount of residential. What are your goals in that regard in terms of revenue for the city?
Yeah, we're predominantly based on property tax, and most of our general fund is funded with property tax, which is both good and bad. It's not prone to big increases, but it's also not prone to big decreases, although we did in the recession see property values reassessed and decreases, but it's not subject to the whims of sales tax or TOT. Our goal is to create an environment where property values are maintained so that we continue on an upward trend in property values, and then to build a larger commercial base for sales tax and for TOT. We have a couple of hotel projects that are on the horizon, and that would add to the TOT, but we're not, I'd say we're not jumping wholeheartedly in the TOT boat. We know it's a nice source to have, but we're not planning for it to be the major part of our future. We want it to be an augment to our general fund. We lag in sales tax per capita. We're one of the lower sales tax per capita cities in the North Bay, primarily because there aren't a lot of commercial and retail opportunities. So certainly a goal to increase some of that, but the commercial landscape with sales tax is changing so much. We're although the Broadway plan contemplates additional retail, the brick and mortar facilities and development has really changed radically and is going to continue to be kind of a tough play. You don't see a lot of brand new shopping centers going up with brick and mortar. You see a lot of them, existing ones, being repurposed for housing and being repurposed for all sorts of other other pieces. So, we're looking at a balanced approach, knowing property tax will continue to be our primary revenue source, but to balance it out with these others, and where can we be strategic in having retailers come, and our residents are eager for additional retail opportunities. Very happy with the new Tractor Supply that opened up about a year and a half ago. That's actually kind of serving really all of Napa County and other parts of the North Bay. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular brand, and we're seeing some positive results there. And we'll continue to see some additional retail development.
So last question. I'm sure anybody who manages an enterprise of the size of a city, there are some things that keep you up at night. What's at the top of your list of concerns, things that you're not quite satisfied with?
I think it's emergency preparedness. We're in this era of needing to be prepared 12 months out of the year for disasters. I think in Marin Canyon, it's a very safe community. We've been, knock on wood, insulated for some of the disasters, but we also, it's incumbent on us to be prepared. We've had recently an emergency preparedness fair where we're engaging our residents on how to fend for themselves for 72 hours after disaster. We really are working on the mantra that when a disaster comes, you need to be self-reliant enough. You need to take care of yourself, be able to take care of your neighbors if needed, because we're going to be taking care of the city as a whole. We're not going to be able to necessarily help individuals. We might not be able to restore services for a while. Part of the some of the issues that PG&E is facing right now and their decisions to implement PSPS, the public safety power shutoffs. We think we're somewhat insulated from that because we're closer to the main parts of the statewide grid. But again, we still could be vulnerable to some of those challenges. And so, our messaging to residents is to go to our website, ReadyAC. It has all the information you need for disaster preparedness and what things you might need to have on hand so that you could be without city services for 72 hours. We actually have set up a pretty unique display at our city hall right as you enter. With all the items that might be on that list, and it's really a visual for people to say you need to have these things on hand because of where we live.
Yeah, there's never the possibility to repeat that too often. We're also tuned into it when something happens, and then time passes, and we get lackadaisical, and we don't have the water on hand and the other things that we should do. Good reminder. Jason Holley, American Canyon City Manager, thanks for coming in today. This was educational, informative, and we'll have you back in the near future and talk
some more. Appreciate it, Barry. Thank you very much.
You bet.